Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 10th of March. I haven't got a clue what number it is. Who cares? I'll announce it later. Right. Welcome to Mindset Monday on a Wednesday. You never know what's going to happen here, will you? I never know what's going to happen. Obviously, I didn't do Mindset Monday, didn't do a pod yesterday, so I will now do pods Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Have Sunday off, and then we'll get back to the next normal schedule. Firstly, thank everybody for their understanding and those of you sent kind messages in. I'm not going to lie, Monday was a little bit tough. You know, we're living in tough times as it is. I've sort of said numerous times about Sam really struggling with lockdown and not wanting, and obviously wanting to see her grandson rather than wanting to get out to Malta. And we got notice on about 7:30-ish Monday morning that he was not well, and was he goes to a day nursery every day, and one of the parents had COVID that was in his bubble and he picked it up from that, and it's just the whole issue around that. I mean, I'm sure he'll be absolutely fine, but obviously he's not well. Jody having to work from home now. They got to isolate for 14 days. All got to be looked after. And stuck in a flat, can't take him out or anything. So obviously that was, you know, it's a worry, but it's more the hassle of it, and dealing with it here, Sam in particular. But then my sister rang me from Melbourne, which we chat, you know, once sort of every couple of weeks and have a FaceTime, see the nephews. And she texted me Sunday and said, can we chat? And I was trading football. I said, no, sorry, busy, tomorrow morning's better. And she normally FaceTimes me and didn't ring the phone. I instantly thought that's a bit weird. But she hadn't told her kids yet. She's actually got the same cancer being diagnosed that which killed my mum. And my sister's 59, my mum died at 67. So, yeah, I mean, that was, I'm very close to her, so I'm worried. It's devastating news for me at the minute, but you know, I'm sure, you know, medicine's moved on. My mum was one of those who didn't go to a doctor's, but obviously halfway across the world you can't do anything. You do worry. At normal times I'd have probably jumped on a plane and gone out there. So yeah, that's you know, not great news. Nobody likes to hear that. You know, these things do happen, and you've got to get off with it. But just coming on top of that on Monday, I didn't really feel like it. And then Art phoned and said he was being rushed to hospital with a heart problem. So I just kind of down tools a little bit Monday. But getting back to my sister, she's a good girl, and she chose to live her life sort of the other way around to Sam and me. We decided when we met, and obviously, that you're going to go forward, that we'd have our kids young, and that would leave us this sort of time to enjoy our life. When my sister did it the other way around, she's, as I say, she's 59, but she spent a big part of her life when she left uni, qualified as a teacher, but she spent a big part of her life travelling with her now husband. And that's how they ended up in Oz, because they sort of went round the world. Went to Australia, New Zealand, really liked it, came home, then they went back for a couple of years, travelling and just working, you know, moving around the country, getting jobs and living there. Came back again and then decided they wanted to live there. So they sort of did their travelling, and she had her kids late. So she's got, she's 59, she had her kids in her 40s, she's got kids at school. So it's horrible, and she is a natural born warrior, absolute panic merchant she is. You sort of feel bad now with things that stories unfold. But when I went out to see her a few years ago, I didn't actually realise. I don't know whether this is just Melbourne. She lives out the Mount Eliza area of Melbourne, down by the coast. And I don't know whether this is unique to that area or whether it's an Australian thing, but they love their coffee in cafes, absolutely love it. And it was sort of certainly a daily or bi-daily ritual that you'd go to. We'd go out to a cafe and have a coffee and a bit of breakfast or whatever. and it's a sort of into the town, was probably a 3-4 mile drive from our house. And I used to sit there having the coffee, and you just would need to say something like, "Did you lock the front door?" And she would go off into, she goes into full meltdown, panicking about it. And another one I did was, "Did you turn the oven off?" The oven hadn't even been on in the morning, but she's worrying about the oven being on from the night before. That's what she's like. So I imagine that this is going to be, you know, she'll be in full panic mode, particularly with the kids involved. So somebody said to me, "Why do I share so much? Why did I put that on Twitter?" I think I am very open, but I think, you know, when people are expecting things of you, be it spreadsheets or a podcast or whatever, particularly having changed the structure of the podcast, I like people to know why things aren't done, as opposed to just say, "Well, there's no pod," because then people just formally think, "Oh, he's given up, he's not interested anymore." This is very much my life, but normal life can get in the way. So, you know, I just was in a bad place Monday morning, particularly worrying about my sister. Didn't really feel like it, didn't do anything. So it's just a matter of, you know, as I said yesterday, get back on the saddle and with it. And she, you know, you start thinking back. My sister was, she was wicked to me. I mean, I'm talking about being wicked to her, wicked to me as a kid. She used to look after me on a Sunday morning, Saturday morning. My parents worked. My two elder brothers had, who were older than her, had Saturday jobs. So they would go off to work. And the brother below my sister and older than me, he played football on a Saturday morning. So I'm only talking, I mean, we left that house when I was 7, so I'm talking the age sort of 4, 5, 6, 7. She used to look after me, and her job was to look after me till, you know, my parents got home at lunchtime, and to do a bit of housework. She'd be left with the hoover and whatever. She used to get me to do all the housework while she was sitting watching Saturday Swap Shop or whatever was on. But she used to make me make phone calls. I don't know whether I've done this on the pod. She used to get me to ring things like Sketchley Dry Cleaners, and say, "Could I iron, do they do an ironing service? Could they iron the crinkles out of my elephant?" And phone pet shops and order ridiculous. "Can I order a hippopotamus?" Absolutely wicked, doing that to a 5, 6, 7 year old kid. It's no wonder I'm scarred. But yeah, so basically that's, you know, I don't want to go on about it, and what's being done is done. But yeah, just Monday, you know, that's why I told people, I like people to know that I haven't just downed tools and thought, sod it. I'm not that sort of guy, which I think most people know now, but just to put some meat on the bones of why that happened. But thank everybody who did send me well wishes. You know, you're good people. It was a shit day, and as I say, art, who knows with art? I mean, I think all of Blackpool taxpayers' money's gone single-handedly on Art's NHS treatment this last 2 years. He's first name terms with everybody in the hospital. I'd like to say he's all right, but I don't even think he knows. Anyway, right, let's get on with it. So I expect a good number of you enjoying some freedom now, as the old rugrats have gone back to school, haven't they? Interesting to see if it has any effects on the numbers. For those of us who are going to take the vaccine, good news. The missus did get a vaccine appointment yesterday, so that's all booked. Both doses, so hopefully that goes well. They do the old people first, see? They do us machines come much later, I've heard. No, I'll probably be one of the last. They might even be treating me the same as they treat the kids. Who knows? I don't know. I might be getting fully, you know, "Oh, we don't need to do him. He's so fit and healthy, such a machine." But yeah, no, good news that is. That's put her mind at rest, because obviously she wants to get out to Malta. But yes, the one trouble with doing nothing on Monday is that I got all behind. It's an area I'm constantly looking to improve, is my time and admin, particularly while we have this relentless football schedule. And just on that, ultimate members, we need two processes this week. I'm reliably informed that Belgian team is playing Friday and Monday. But back on track now, so as I say, we'll have pods right through till Saturday, no pods Sunday, into the new routine, which will be Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, normally. But today we're going to have Mindset Monday, Wednesday. I want to talk about confidence. I get a ton of queries via email about the confidence to go on, how do you know things will win. And a lot of that at the minute is relating to performance of certain things. Obviously, this season, and for the umpteenth time, I feel I get tired saying it, and I do understand that this season is different to others. Some leagues are down on goals, some leagues are down on own wins, whatever it is. At the moment, I stress it's at the moment, I won't look at that until May and can finally analyse it, know exactly what the future holds for next season. We'll know the timeline. Is it going to be a normal timeline? Are we going to have any crowds? What size will they be? So at the minute, everything again is a little bit sort of speculative for me. I don't tend to work like that. But it may well be that we need to look at this period in isolation. I'm sure there'll be areas of it that we do need to look at in isolation. And we'll look and learn from it. I certainly wouldn't be getting over anxious one end about a bad run. And as I said a few weeks ago, I wouldn't be getting too excited about a really good run, for example, back in unders. Because while something may look good in this period, I wouldn't pin my hopes on the fact that that's going to take me forward forevermore going forward when we do eventually get. And there will be a normal. It'll be a new normal, but there will be a return to some sort of normality. I've no idea when you'll have 60,000 people in a football stadium again, but things will head towards that way over a period of time as we learn to live with this thing. So confidence for me comes from experience, process, routine, discipline, my own execution, confidence in my own ability, and a confidence in the data. As I've said many times, it largely involves ignoring others. I've said this many times, my personal experience, I keep saying these are my views, these podcasts, you choose to listen to them, you can dismiss them, bin them, whatever, that side of it I'm not interested in. I can only talk about my experience of what I do. And I'm sat here looking at screens trading Japan while I'm recording this. I've won 1,700 quid. I think I'm fairly qualified to do what talk about it. But I find that a lot of this largely involves ignoring others again. I think when you're low on confidence and you're seeking out sort of reassurance, very few people are positive or helpful, I'll be honest. In my mind, they can't wait to knock, can't wait, just diversify before we get into this mindset Monday, just diversify from that and see what's going on at the minute just in this country. Obviously Monday I had a quiet day. I knew nothing about this Harry and Meghan thing. Genuinely, I don't watch TV. I've tended to stay away from the news, but I just thought I'd catch up with the news on Monday. First six items on the news BBC app were to do with Meghan and Harry. So I just shut it down. I find it completely baffling why 11 million people in this country allegedly watch that, would want to watch it. I then look at the news yesterday, and again, it's all about that. I don't get this obsession with other people's business. I never have really understood it. Then you see this morning, Piers Morgan's obviously gone from his job. When I did follow Piers Morgan on Twitter, you know, I gave up because he's just horrific. But a couple of years back, you know, I thought I'd follow him for the Arsenal stuff, but he's not amusing. He's just for me a fucking horrific human being. And when I followed him, he had an obsession with her back then. I mean, I don't know how long this couple's been together or what year they got married. I can't remember. But he's obsessed with being, you know, particularly nasty about her for whatever reason it is. Obviously, I believe somebody tried to call him out on it yesterday on TV. Don't know the ins and outs of it. But I find it amazing that people, you know, jump on following what he says as if he's some sort of messiah and lord after him. You know, it's similar to people who lord after Farage, forgetting the Brexit thing. People just lording after these people. Oh, Nigel, the people's bloke. And no, they're not. They're just self-serving. They're not your mates. They're just self-serving. What can I get out of it? Piers Morgan's a millionaire. Farage, millionaires through other people fawning after them and worshipping them. For what? They're just hideous people. They're just hideous. Forget what they do or what they're just hideous people. And I just never ever get it, you know. And it's just not for me. But again, it's, you know, they like to poke their nose in other people's business, and then other people follow it. And I mean, I had a quick scour this morning before I recorded this, just to see if my views were sort of cemented. And there's people like, you know, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with the mornings? There's no more peers. Let's have a campaign to get him back. What are you doing? What are you doing? Sort yourselves out. Has nobody got any fucking dignity and self-respect anymore? I just don't get it. Shocking. But yeah, let's get back to where we were. I don't really get it. They're getting in other people's business, and I think in the world of gambling, as I say, for me, find very, there are helpful people, but they're few in number. You know, and even looking at just taking that, the sort of peers and the news thing, and poking this, and I know nothing about it. It always seemed a ludicrous idea for me when I did look at it a few years back. The football index thing looks like it's all gone tits up for God knows what time. They've changed the goalposts. But if you're not involved in it, which I'm not, I don't understand why people want to then get involved in it. Why people have to jump on the negativity. There's obviously people who've lost a load of money. They don't need people who aren't involved in it telling them what mugs they've been or what idiots they've been. I just don't get it. If it's not my business, then why get involved? Why do you have to comment at all if you're not involved and it's fuck all to do with you? I just do not get it. I really do not understand it. And I think, personally, that stood me in good stead on my trading over the few years. Because, you know, I know people who slate me. I know people who dig me out there. I know a lot of them who they are. I know the things they said because things feed back. But I have the ability to actually think for myself, do what I want to do, ignore people. And I understand there's, I suppose, what would you call them? I don't want to be derogatory, but weaker people who don't do that. But I do think it stood me in good stead over my trading career. Because if I'd listened to some of the arseholes that think they're good or gurus or whatever they want and give opinions, I'd be fucking skint. That's the facts of it. So anyway, let's get back to this. Mindset Monday, confidence. Back to confidence. So confidence for me goes through the things I said. Process, data, discipline, routine, doing the same things, execution. And again, as I say, it's my thoughts. They may help some. But one of the things I find, particularly with low confidence, I think it stops you trading effectively. I think if you're spending time beating yourself up, it can stop you pulling the trigger, doubting whether to get involved at certain prices, or, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, you might be laying at four, but you've had a couple of losers. Oh, I don't want to lay at four again. I'm getting beat up. I think as your confidence goes, then you change what you do. And conversely, overconfidence, you know, I talked about people now who might be, I don't know, involved in unders in the championship, thinking, wow, this is fantastic. That overconfidence that it's going to go on forevermore can equally be destructive, you know, because you think you got the Holy Grail race stakes, whatever. So I think it's all about developing confidence comes from having good processes in place, having a good trading plan, sticking to it, and adopting good habits such as record keeping, graphing, stake management, all those things. And then trading that same way day by day will bring a level of confidence to your betting trading activity. I firmly believe that. I think that's, you know, a lot of stuff that people don't do. And over the time on FTS, people have got better and more people at record keeping. But all those things, I can look at something, I can look at a graph and say, it's done that before. So I know I've got confidence then to see that visually and think, actually, this is an abnormal. I've seen this before. And obviously, as I say, when I get to May, there'll be things that I see that I'll ignore from this year. And there'll be things that I'll say, that's actually quite unique to there, because I've got the activity before it. To go and look and see what's actually going on here, rather than just jumping to it's the rash conclusions is my issue with this period, just jumping on bandwagons and saying this is doing that, and, you know, it's the same with VAR, we're not going to see goals, all this, you know, let's just let things settle down, then have a proper look at it, as opposed to jumping on things. So yeah, getting a trading plan, sticking to it, adopting good habits, as I say, record keeping, graphing, staking, managing your staking, know exactly what you're going to do day in, day out, and being able to repeat it. That's where confidence for me comes from. And I mentioned confidence on data in the opening, so a couple of points here. When I get into the depths of trading with people, it's what never ceases to amaze me is how little people actually understand what they're doing and understand odds, what is likely to happen. And it's all very well having databases, looking at past data, doing yields, t-tests, p-tests, Archie scores, whatever other things you want to do, which all have their place in what we do, but people don't have a basic simple grasp of odds and percentages. And for me, it's difficult to A, understand the market you're in, and B, operate confidently, effectively in that market if you haven't really got a clue what it's all about. So I do think putting some effort into actually learning basic odds percentages, what they tie into, will help you understand what's possible winnings-wise, loss-wise, longest losing runs and drawdown, strike rates, and just generally having more of an idea about what you're doing. I just think people dive into this again thinking money first, and not actually looking at what they're doing. They have absolutely no concept of it. And I really do think that, again, that's a learning curve. Everything you need is online. It's so easy to find out this stuff, price percentage calculators, things, and just try and get a grasp of it, so that if you are backing a team at 1.3 or you're laying a team at 6, you actually understand what that means, percentage wise, and from there you can start to develop whether you've got edges and things like that. So I really do think it's a to breed confidence, actually knowing more about what you're doing. You know, if you say to somebody you're confident driving a car, yeah, because they know how to drive a car, they've been taught, so they've got confidence to do that. I think you need to do a bit of self-learning with this before you dive in. One thing I always quote on this podcast, quoted it numerous times on these Mindset Mondays, you'll find I nearly always, pretty much probably everyone at some stage, I'll reference back to golf. And one of the reasons why I reference back to golf is because it was what I was good at. And I do keep saying, you know, those days are longer behind me now, but I was a good golfer. I say was, you know, I was scratch or better for a good number of years. But they're long behind me now. But some of the best advice I got when starting out down this road, was from my mentor JG. Don't try and push water uphill, was a phrase he sort of used. Apply what I know, my golf mentality, my approach to that, to trading and betting. Everybody is good at something. Everybody. And don't let anybody tell you you're not. Everybody is good at something. Well, I say everybody is sexy, I suppose. Kevin Kelly, Gary Smith. In fact, scratch that. Some of us are good at some things. No, joking aside, everyone is good at something. And I think a big part of your trading confidence can be identify what that is. Be honest with yourselves. Identify what it is. Don't constantly beat yourself up. Identify in your life what it is you're good at, and it could be anything: sports, arts, maths, parenting, cooking, games, anything. Identify it, and then think of the elements, component parts that make you good or made you good at that. Write those steps down and see how you can draw on that info in your trading. So again, you get away from this focus on money and finances rather than what can actually make me good at this? What skills do I have? What is it I am good at? What do I do well at? And again, your personality then will come out and you'll shape that. I refer back to golf as I apply a similar logic to that to my performance in trading. I can shoot 68 on a golf course. Someone shoots 67 and beats me. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, I've played well. They've played better and shot 67. They might have held a 40-foot putt on the last. There's absolutely nothing I can do. So I feel I've gone out and given my best and played well, but I've got beat and lost. I can go through this process, find what I think is the perfect trade. It finishes 0-0 with a missed penalty in 90 minutes. Nothing I can do. So I haven't done anything wrong. Just sometimes these things don't go your way. And I can take, you know, solace in the fact on the golf course I've come off, I've played well, guys beat me. I can take solace in the trading. I did all I could. I went through all my processes. I'm happy with what I did. It didn't go my way. And I think if you start to look at things that you've done in life and things you're good at, and nobody's, you know, even if you're good at something, you'll have little hiccups in it. You start to take that forward. I think people will be better and a bit more confident. Not beating yourself up all the time. And I'll get back to that in a minute. Football overall is a fairly predictable sport, but it features unpredictable events. For example, we know, Man City would most likely beat Grimsby. So you see that draw in the FA Cup. Man City, right, we know City are going to win. Very, very slim chance we're going to give Grimsby. But we don't know by how many goals City are going to win. We don't know when those goals are come. We can make educated views and guesses on such things, but they are unpredictable. They're random. The process is to focus on the process and try not to fight that unpredictability, and you'll be more confident in what you're doing. I bang the same drum week in, week out in the chat room on here about looking and following every single bet you're doing yourself. I can't see what good comes of it. I can't see any good in it whatsoever. I genuinely do not see what purpose it solves in your overall plan at all. Elation when you win, beat yourself up when you lose. And if you work on a process and proactively get away from that, I'm convinced that people will get more confidence, because if you're living every single kick, it's human nature. We'll focus on the negative ones more, and we will just get ourselves dragging ourselves down. And I think beating yourself up, feeling down on your luck, is a bigger issue. If you carry yourself well, stick your chest out, act as if things are better, they may well just be. You know, it's very, very difficult for me to operate from a base of constantly beating yourself up. I'll go back to golf again. I knew on the golf course when I had someone beat, I've said on the podcast, you know, my next brother up from me, horrific loser, one of the worst. He's thrown snooker balls at me, thrown golf clubs at me, horrific loser. I knew when I had him beat. I knew when I had him beat. Nothing else had to happen. I knew when I had him beat because he beat himself, shoulders down, clubs thrown, blaming everything else. And I encountered that numerous times on the golf course. You know, I knew that if somebody was in that mode, their game was only going to get worse. And I knew that if I just stayed solid, I'm going to win. And it's much the same trading on Betfair. You know, let's not forget, we're taking money off each other. I'm going into a market, you might be going in the other side of the market. I'm taking money off you mostly because I keep my head and operate the same every day. And I imagine that's the same for people like Peter Webb. Certainly watching Steve. I mean, I could relate with Steve. Cautious, you know, the race trading, cautious, almost boring approach. I did 5 races yesterday. I haven't looked at it since Steve and I did the course, but I did 5 races yesterday. I won 5 times. But it wasn't the winning I was interested in. I was interested in, was I doing what Steve told me to do? I think so. You know, it's going to take practice for me because it's a new way of looking at things. But I did exactly what I did with him sitting in effect on the one-to-one, talking me through it. I did it on my own for the first time, and I did 5 races, won on all 5. It's just boring. It's just doing the same thing. Process. Didn't even think of the money. I wasn't interested in the money. I was interested in, am I doing the right thing? But as I say, I think if you're beating yourself up constantly, then you just get yourself in, you're just getting yourself down all the time, and it's not the way to be. I think you've really got to be a bit more carry yourself and look at the elements that make you like that. And as I say, I can't believe living every result as it crosses the line or watching every goal. I cannot see any help of it whatsoever, but that's me. Other ways to build confidence. Look at look at famous people. I use that term loosely. Forget the fame. Look at, let's call them high performers. I'm going to use sportsmen because I don't watch much TV, so I don't know, you know, what other people would class as role models. You know, if you're holding Piers Morgan as a role model, you've got something wrong with you, genuinely. But people like Federer, Hendry, Steve Davis, Phil Taylor, whether you like him or not, Van Gerwen, Bjorg, Tom Brady, Nick Faldo. I loved Nick Faldo. Woods. And incidentally, I watched, the one thing I have watched in the last couple of weeks is that Tiger Woods documentary on Sky. There's a like a 3 hours, two-part documentary on Tiger Woods' life. Fascinating. Absolutely loved it. Nicholas, Seb Coe, Steve Ovett, Usain Bolt. Top people, all different personalities, but listen to them talk, look at the way they carry. They all ooze confidence. Not one of those people entertained losing. And a positive mindset, for all those who want to mock it, it will improve you. If you're sitting there saying, I'm going to lose, I'm going to get beat, I'm not, you're right, you probably are. You know, you've got to try and draw on those other life skills and find a bit of inner confidence. And I am convinced then that your number of winners will go up and your profit and loss will go up. So it's not an easy thing. I'm not saying any of this is easy. Again, it involves change, fundamental change in you. I think you've got to get to a process. I think you've got to find the things that sap your confidence. What is it that you do that encourages that? You've got to try and learn more about what you're doing, and you've got to draw on other life experiences and other people and look at, why do they do well? What is it that, why are they confident? Look at how they carry themselves. And I genuinely think that you'll improve it. But it's a self, you know, nobody can do it for you. I can't sprinkle some magic dust and say, oh, here you are, you're confident now. You've got to try and build that up. But it's the two elements to it. You've got to remove the things that sap confidence. And as I say, for me, listening to people, forums, all that stuff, I just don't get it. But me, you know, again, I can only talk about myself, following every single kick and this, that and the other, and beating yourself, they've scored again, it's going my way, all that, just beating yourself up. And then what can you learn from the good things you've done, the things you're really good at in life? How can you take those and try and apply that to what you're doing here? And again, it comes to how you look at this. If you look at this as a recreation, crack on. If you look at it as something you genuinely want to succeed at and do, I think you've got to change. And to build that confidence, all those things I talk about, people poo them, there'll be people saying, you don't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you, for me, that's the sort of stuff that works. Routine, repetition, doing the same thing every day, graphing, knowing more about what I'm doing. And I'm always trying to learn in this game. I still read loads of books, maths books, probability books, all sorts of stuff, and drawing, as I say, for me, a lot of comparisons to golf. How did I feel when golf was going badly? Whatever, you know, you dust yourself off, and when you start to look at things like that, life doesn't become quite so problematic. Right, that's it. That is me. 30 minutes, roughly. I know a little bit at the start about nonsense. But as I say, thank you. You know, nothing's going to change. We'll carry on as normal. I can't do anything from here other than sit and stew in my own thoughts about these things. But I do appreciate the messages, as I say. Fantastic people. I'll be back tomorrow. There's no football. There's only Europa League tomorrow. So I'll try and do some stats tomorrow. I want to talk about these... the goals distribution. I think it was 73% at the weekend, second half goals, and get that graph. You know, again, when I talk about things that help people, we've got the 1x2 charts on site now with the percentages. You know, their knowledge. I'm not saying they're going to produce it, but the one thing is their knowledge. You've got the goal times on there. Again, knowledge. And I'm going to get this. I just want to expand it. I did the year, and I think it would do people to go back. So I'm trying to break it into weekly chunks. It's just a different formula for every week. Chrissy could probably do it in a nanosecond, but I've been doing it myself. But I will, obviously I've got waylaid. I will talk a bit about that tomorrow and hopefully get that sheet. So in effect, you'll have three talks there on site. That they're just knowledge. They're just stuff that you're not necessarily going to lead you to have any bets, but just actually educate you and see what's going on. And I think if you know what's going on and you've got half an idea, then you can be confident a bit more in what you're doing and not beat yourself up to actually look and go, well, actually, that doesn't look normal at the minute. It's no, you know, I can look at things now and go, it's no surprise. If second half goals are down, it's no surprise I'm losing on some of my second half stuff. Will it come back? You hear me say, things you'll hear me say, I know I'm going to win. I know it will come back. You might not believe it. I know I'm going to win. And I know that these numbers will come back. I don't know when, but I'm telling you that they will. And people laugh and joke at me and poo. No one's ever proved me wrong. I've not got one email ever where you said this and that happened. Because I don't make mad sweeping statements. I make educated, sensible statements that I know those numbers will come back. There. I know I will win. It's a fact. So there you go. Confidence, see? If I sat here saying, oh, I'm going to lose today and oh, it's all falling apart, the world's ending. I just don't get people who live like that. Life's better than that. Right, have a lovely, lovely Wednesday. Shouldn't be a pod today. It's Mindset Monday, Wednesday. Have a lovely one of them. Thank you all for your time. And I will be back with you tomorrow for a bit of stats. Friday preview, Saturday trading, Sunday off. And then we're into normal.